Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by CBDMD. Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done. But don't worry, because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to get the sleep you deserve. CBDPM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA. For 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. This is the post-game podcast from the Wolves loss to the Lakers on Tuesday, but it was, if I do say so myself, a good loss. And you know, the whole silver linings game, I think it's legitimate now that Karl Anthony Towns is back and we have a sense for what this team at least should look like with Towns, Beasley, Ricky Rubio, you know, all these guys that are healthy now, obviously sans D'Angelo Russell, but Karl Anthony Towns is the straw that stirs the Timberwolves drink. He is back and the Wolves played the Lakers tough in this game. We're within two possessions with just a couple minutes to play. And it was a good performance for Minnesota. So I want to talk about takeaways from the game, key takeaways overall throughout the game, late down the stretch, what the Wolves offense looked like. It was a little bit different in this one versus what we saw against Charlotte and Toronto over the weekend. And then also individual studs and duds from this game as well, as we always do following games. So we'll get to all that today. A quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you like to get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And my Twitter account is at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so this is the second time the Wolves will play the Lakers this year. This was the second time the Wolves played the Lakers, and neither time was Anthony Davis available. The first time Karl Anthony Towns was out for the Wolves, D'Angelo Russell played. This time Russell was out and Karl Anthony Towns played. I should actually say at the top, we did find out just a couple hours before tip-off, Adrian Wojnarowski reported, of course, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported that D'Angelo Russell will be out 4 to 6 weeks with arthroscopic surgery on his knee. This is the opposite leg from the leg with the quadriceps injury. That was a left quad injury. I believe this is the right knee. And they said the Wolves are saying that there's a loose body in the knee that was removed by arthroscopic surgery, out 4 to 6 weeks. So not exactly what we'd been hearing, even up through media availability on Tuesday, the day of the Lakers game. The Wolves, Ryan Saunders was just saying it was leg soreness, knee, ankle, et cetera, without any context, and it was rather dodgy. Turns out, apparently there's a loose body in the knee. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, it's a when it rains, it pours type thing. Yeah, it's a little weird that now we're over a calendar year. We're 54 weeks basically since the trade. D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns have played 5 games together. Obviously there's COVID is in there, you know, shortening both seasons. You know, Karl Anthony Towns has had multiple nagging injuries, has had COVID himself. D'Angelo Russell had nagging injuries when he was acquired last year and has a couple of times this year as well. And now we'll be out for an extended period of time. So there's a ton of extenuating circumstances that contribute to this, but super frustrating. Of course, I'll get into the point guard play here in a minute, but since Russell's been out, the Wolves have actually gotten pretty solid point guard play from Jordan McLaughlin and Ricky Rubio, who McLaughlin's been good all year. Rubio's finally coming on. You know, he's saying he's in shape now. He's well past his COVID-19 bout from over the summer or over the offseason. So we'll get into the point guard play. I'm not suggesting the Wolves are better without D'Angelo Russell. I am simply saying that the Wolves are better with Towns and no Russell than they are with Russell and no Towns. And I don't think there's any argument there. But at any rate, no D'Angelo Russell. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. And unfortunately, we'll be well into the second half of the schedule before we get an opportunity to see Russell and Towns play together. And, you know, knock on wood, that will happen still this year for hopefully, 20, 25 games here at the tail end of the season. So anyways, no D'Lo for the Wolves, no Anthony Davis for the Lakers in this game. The Wolves were competitive. They played well early. Jared Vanderbilt got the start at the four and primarily was guarding LeBron and did okay, but the Lakers were running a lot of action to get LeBron basically to try and match him up with Malik Beasley, to try and get Ricky Rubio on him, to try and get him on smaller defenders. And he was able to bully the Wolves defenders, back them down, hit mid-range jumpers, score in a variety of ways. He only attempted four threes in this game. It didn't feel like LeBron shot that many threes because he could get wherever he wanted on the court at any point. He shot 13 of 20 from the field. And you take out his threes, he was 12 of 16 inside the arc, 75% shooting on twos in this game. And he had 13 rebounds, all defensive rebounds, 7 assists. He did have 5 turnovers, but LeBron was dominant. And the Wolves actually did okay defensively on everybody else. LeBron had, I believe, 13 in the first quarter. He had 16 or 18 maybe by halftime and didn't really do much in the third quarter, but came on strong down the stretch and to ultimately put the game away. But the Wolves tried their best to put Jared Vanderbilt on him. They had Jade McDaniels on him for a while. They tried Josh Okogie on him for a little bit. But the Lakers have the ability to get LeBron switched onto whoever they want to be guarding him. And LeBron, it doesn't really matter because LeBron can score against anybody. But it's an optimal matchup for the Lakers if they can get a diminutive Malik Beasley. And there was one play early in the game where LeBron took Beasley baseline and literally just spun past him for a dunk. There was no resistance put up whatsoever, no help defense. And that seemingly happened throughout the night. But outside of LeBron, the Wolves did pretty good defensively. They were within 3 at the end of the first quarter. They actually won the second quarter. We're down just 1 at halftime. Offensively, the Wolves were running far more 5 out. We'll talk more about this later, but Cat was in the post a lot less against the Lakers than he was against Toronto and then he was against Charlotte. Now, Toronto, of course, we talked about this after Sunday's game when the Wolves beat the Raptors. Toronto is just not in the same realm defensively as the Lakers are. And the Lakers, the Wolves wanted to spread the Lakers out. They didn't want to deal with LeBron and Marc Gasol in the paint as much as possible. And they wanted to run a bunch. I mean, Naz Reid did a bunch of damage in the second quarter in the pick and roll game. Him and Jordan McLaughlin picked the Lakers apart. A lot of that was with LeBron off the court. But the Wolves were allowing Cat to stay on the perimeter and run a lot of action that started in 5 out sets. For the game, and we'll get into this here in a minute too, Cat only attempted 1 3-pointer and he didn't get to the free throw line. Towns didn't have the game that the Wolves wanted him to, and the Lakers did exactly what they set out to do, which was get the ball out of Karl Anthony Towns' hands and make somebody else beat you. Ultimately, that didn't happen for Minnesota, and the Lakers did an outstanding job making the Wolves play the type of game that the Lakers wanted them to. So the Wolves were down 1 at halftime. And as the third quarter went on, the Wolves kind of held serve for the most part back and forth with the Lakers. And then towards the end of the quarter, the Lakers bench far outplayed the Timberwolves bench. First half, Naz Reid was very good. Jordan McLaughlin was very good. Second half, McLaughlin was still pretty good, but the Wolves bench just couldn't quite win the non-LeBron minutes, which was an issue, obviously. Jalen Noel had a poor game. He was 0 for 5, had just 2 points in the game. The Wolves couldn't stop the Lakers bench unit. A lot of that was Montrezl Harrell, going against Jade McDaniels, and Montrez is a beast. Obviously, reigning sixth man of the year can dominate anybody on the glass, was drawing fouls left and right, and just not a great matchup for Jaden McDaniels. And the Wolves bench just could not keep up with the Lakers depth. LA did build their lead. I guess they were only up 2 headed to the fourth quarter, but it was early in the fourth when they did a lot more damage against the Wolves bench. Minnesota didn't come back with their starters until the 8:15 mark of the fourth quarter, and they were already down 9. At one point, the lead was 12, but they were down 9 when the starters came back in. From there to the end of the game, Karl Anthony Towns did not attempt a single shot. He didn't play in the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, but he didn't attempt a shot in the fourth quarter in that final 8-plus minutes. Again, a lot of that's due to the Lakers' defense. They were essentially blitzing Cat when he got the ball, regardless of where he was on the court. And it was just a genius game plan. They were doubling him on the catch in the post. They were blitzing him on the perimeter. They were forcing the ball out of his hands. They were leaving Ricky Rubio, Josh Okogie, others open. And it's not like the Wolves shot the ball that poorly. Overall, Minnesota was pretty good offensively. I mean, what? They shot 42.4% from the field, but they were 47% from beyond the arc. The Lakers don't foul, so the Wolves getting to the free throw line 13 times wasn't super out of character for teams playing against the Lakers' defense. The Wolves' offense wasn't bad. It's just they didn't get the offense from where they expected it to come from. And Towns finished with just 15 points on 10 shots. Malik Beasley had only 11 points on 15 shots. It's not very often that you're going to have Cat and Beasley combined to score 26 points on 25 shots. Neither one of them shot a single free throw in this game. And that was the way that the Lakers knew they could beat the Wolves. And if I had told you that before the game, you'd think the Wolves would have lost by 25. But they were in this game to the end. They were down 5 with under 3 minutes to play, and they ultimately lost by only 8. And a big part of that was due to Anthony Edwards. So what I want to do is talk about him next. I want to dig into Edwards' game, and then I want to talk about some other key takeaways, as well as what Ant did down the stretch. So kind of putting a bow on the end of the game, on the recap portion of this, and then talk about key takeaways, which includes Anthony Edwards. So I think he's a pretty good segue there. Before we do that, though, let's talk about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50%, a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Of course, we're covering everything you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves here at Locked On Wolves, but what about the rest of the sports world? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the fantastic Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk about Anthony Edwards. He tied his career high with 28 points in this game. He was really good early and had a nice night going already, but then down the stretch, he just kind of took over the game. And part of that, again, was to how the Lakers were guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. But the Wolves basically turned their offense over to Anthony Edwards. And I'm going to get the exact, basically the timestamp and the margin here. I mentioned earlier the Wolves were down 9 when the starters came back with 8:15 left. It was basically starters minus Rubio plus Jordan McLaughlin for a little while. And then starting at about the 6-minute mark, the 6:01 mark, Ant makes a three-pointer. Makes another one less than 2 minutes later. Next time down the court, he makes another one. So he's got 3 threes in about 2.5 minutes and got the Wolves to within 105 to 100 with 3.5 minutes left. Dennis Schroeder travels on the other side. Great on the other end of the court. Great defensive play by Ricky Rubio, causing him to travel. Then Ant splits the double team off the pick and roll, gets into the paint, and LeBron James takes a charge. It was the right call, but I mean, a great play by LeBron, not something that Edwards could have necessarily planned for in that situation. And he actually made the shot. So had the officials called a blocking foul, Ant would have had an and one with a chance to pull the Wolves to within two. But instead, they call the charge. On the other end, the Lakers miss a shot. The Wolves come back down the court. Rubio drives baseline, misses a reverse layup. And then Vanderbilt has a wide open tip in because two guys went with Rubio. Vanderbilt could have just tip slammed it for the easy 2 points. Instead, he just kind of touched, you know, almost like it was almost like a touch pass where he grabbed the rebound and kind of tapped it right back up and in, except for it didn't go in. It went in and out, and the Lakers got the ball, head back down the court, score. Edwards misses a three on the other end. Lakers get a three. Wolves are down 10 with a minute 20, just like that. But had Vanderbilt made, or if Rubio had made the layup, or if Vanderbilt had made the tip in, now you're talking about a 3-point game with just over 2 minutes to play. And that would have felt a lot better than being down 10 with 120 to play. Still, all of that, and at that point, the game was basically over. The Lakers actually pushed it to 12 at one point before the Wolves scored had a little push at the end to get themselves within 8 at the final score. But Ant was fantastic in the fourth quarter. He was really good all night. He was aggressive. He was looking for a shot. He wasn't simply just shooting threes. A couple of them were the threes that he struggled with, were off the dribble. They were, you know, taking a side dribble and shooting, or shooting in the pick and roll, which to this point this season, his points per possession handling the ball in the pick and roll has not been good. We've talked about that pretty extensively on the show. He's been much, much, much better as a catch and shoot three-point shooter. But in this game, he was 5 of 10 outside the arc, and I'm pretty sure at least 3, if not 4 of those 5 makes were all off the dribble. I have to go back and watch his attempts still, and I'll do that later, but he looked a lot more comfortable shooting off the dribble. At some point, he just kind of hit this. I mean, he's always looked confident and comfortable shooting the ball from anywhere on the court, but he just was in a rhythm in this game. He finished with 28, 7, and 5, 2 blocks and a steal, 10 of 20 shooting, 5 of 20 outside the arc, 3 of 4 at the line. Just a fantastic game from Edwards. Certainly one of his 2 or 3 better games, if not his best game of the season. And I mean, he hit a 3, that last 3 that he made. Well, I guess his last 3 he made in the game was kind of a pump fake, side dribble, let Schroeder fly by, and he drained it. The one before that was LeBron switched onto him after a pick, and Anthony Edwards just pulled the ball out, shot a 3 right over LeBron and made it. And that's what pulled the Wolves to within. It went from 11 to 8 after that 3. And then he hit the other 3 when Schroeder was guarding him to get the Wolves to within 5. So clearly he's not afraid of anything. He's said as much. He said that, you know, to the media that he's not going to back down to anybody at the rim. He took the ball right at LeBron in the paint as well, was called for the charge, but took it right at him. He tried to dunk earlier in the game. He tried to dunk over, I can't remember who is in the paint at the time, but Schroeder tipped the ball away right before Edwards could cock it back and throw one down. But he's clearly reached this point now. He had that like week and a half to 2 weeks after the Spurs game where he made the bad decision at the end of the game and turned it over in the final seconds. He had that rough stretch where he was like 3 of 20 something from the floor. Since then, he's been really good. And I think we're finally starting to see every part of his game catch up to his ability. And that was really encouraging to see in this game against obviously a really tough opponent and the league's best defensive team as well. All right, other takeaways from this game. I mentioned the offense. The Wolves played a lot more five out in this game and were trying to run a lot of action, space the floor out, basically make the Lakers spread their defense out. Kat and Ricky Rubio played a lot of pick and roll, but the Lakers were trying to double on the catch, and so Towns didn't get that many catches within that action with Rubio. And he had a couple of post touches. There were a couple of mismatches he got that he scored on easily. He scored on an offensive putback at one point. But most of Towns' shot attempts, there was a mid-range jumper he hit over Gasol. It just wasn't a typical Kat night in terms of his number of touches. He was efficient. He was 7 of 10. But the Lakers defensive plan was just better than the Wolves offensive plan. And the other thing is Malik Beasley just had an off night, and we'll get more into his night specifically here in a minute, but 4 of 15, if Beasley has a typical night based on how he's played throughout this season, the Wolves might win this game. But he was just off. It's too bad that happened in a night where the opponent dared the Wolves to beat them with somebody other than Karl-Anthony Towns. Another takeaway from this game is the point guard play. Ricky Rubio and Jordan McLaughlin combined for 26 points, 12 assists, and only 4 turnovers in this game. Also 6 rebounds. They combined to shoot 4 of 8 from outside the arc and 10 of 24 from the field. Really efficient night from those guys. Both Rubio and McLaughlin were 5 of 12 from the field. McLaughlin hit 3 threes. Rubio hit 1. And they were both really good. I mean, McLaughlin had the misfortune of playing with the bench unit that really struggled in the second half, and he ended up with the team worst minus 15 in the plus minus column. But J-Mac had a good game. So don't get that twisted just based on the single game plus minus, which of course is always very noisy. But he was very, very good. Rubio was also very good in this game. He scored early. He had 5 points, I think, on the Wolves' first 3 possessions, hit a quarter 3 real early in the game. And it's just really refreshing to see the Wolves play 2 point guards that were on. I mean, we've seen games this year where too many games where D'Lo had a good game and Rubio was poor off the bench, or D'Lo struggled and Rubio was good, but it was in a losing effort. And now finally you've got a pair of point guards who are both clicking, and the Wolves didn't mess around with playing them together more than I think maybe like one small stint, like a 30-second, 60-second stretch, they basically did not play a two-point guard lineup at all. And I don't think it makes a ton of sense with most matchups with Rubio and McLaughlin. But both of them quarterbacked the Wolves offense extremely well, and it was very, very good to see. And they played solid defense. Schroeder had a good game. He had 24 points on only 15 shots, but he did turn the ball over five times and had only three assists. There were some lapses. I mean, there were actually both Rubio and McLaughlin got beat on blowbys by Schroeder, and the Wolves just defensively were a half step slow at times when it came to guarding Schroeder's drives. Primarily, he also got to the free throw line eight times in this game, but for the most part, the Wolves' point guard play was very good. Which actually, I mentioned the defense. I actually think the defense was pretty good. I mentioned earlier, LeBron had, you know, shot 13 to 20, had 30 points, seven assists. And I thought Jared Vanderbilt did okay when he was on LeBron. But outside of LeBron and then, you know, a couple of possessions that Schroeder kind of took over, the Lakers didn't really have anybody else that did major damage. I mean, Montrezl Harrell had 17 and 6 off the bench, but he just kept getting to the free throw line. He was just kind of hanging out in the dunker spot along the baseline and just waiting for dump offs. And that's just what he does. It's very hard to defend against that. And when you've got guys like LeBron orchestrating the offense, your rotations have to be on point. You have to be covering each other. And the bench front court of Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid was not up to the task defensively in this game. And again, this is a tough assignment. This isn't an indictment on them or their futures or anything crazy. I mean, let me be clear. The front court of Montrezl Harrell, Markieff Morris, you know, and LeBron and whoever else they were playing with is really, really hard to defend. And the Lakers did an extremely good job in this game of getting some of those easy shots, also getting to the free throw line and making their free throws, 17 of 21 from the line. So overall, I thought the Wolves defense giving up only 112 points and losing by eight to the Lakers wasn't the worst, certainly not anywhere near the worst we've seen it this year. And it was actually pretty solid, all things considered. Talked a lot about Anthony Edwards. He's the number one takeaway with how he played in this game and the desire he had to take this thing over down the stretch. And it wasn't in a bad way. I've been hard on him before when he's gotten tunnel vision. In fact, just the other day, I talked about his tunnel vision. But in this game, the Wolves were calling his number. And I mean, there was a play, I think it was the possession when... I think it was the last possession when Edwards missed a three with the Wolves down seven. I think they were down 107-100. And Edwards had the ball on a pick and roll. He kicked it back to Towns. And Towns could have taken a three, which would have been a, you know, a semi-contested three from the top of the arc. And he swung the ball, and it ended up getting back to Edwards for a missed three. I believe that was the possession. There were a couple of those where Towns could have taken semi-difficult shots, and he was fine. He was happy to defer. And not, again, not in a bad way for Towns either. I don't know that it was the wrong play. But there were some opportunities for Towns to get involved a little bit, and it's not like Edwards was complete tunnel vision isolation every time down the court. The Wolves were calling sets where Edwards was initiating the offense and Rubio was kind of the secondary ball handler in many of those sets. And with the way the game flow is going and the way that Edwards was playing, I was totally fine with that. Obviously, Towns needs, you can't go through a fourth quarter in a close game and have Towns not shoot the ball. But Edwards was not outside of what he should have been doing at that point in the game. So a good game from Edwards. I don't really have too many complaints about the coaching down the stretch. I think that, you know, the Lakers just played really well defensively and the Wolves didn't force things too much. It's hard to complain when you're in the game down the stretch against the Lakers like that. And Edwards is as hot as he was. And for the most part, the team was fairly efficient as well. So I actually don't really have too much to gripe about with how the Wolves played down the stretch in this one. Okay, next I want to talk about studs and duds individually beyond Ant's game. Just kind of look at the other players who had good games, the players who struggled in the game against the Lakers. First, though, let's talk about our awesome friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. I guarantee it. Tastes exactly like a candy bar. Have, I don't know, probably three dozen Built Bars right now in the pantry, and I've been eating one every single day in the afternoon to get ready for a workout. There's 18 amazing Built Bar flavors, including six brand new ones. My favorite's caramel brownie, cookies and cream. There's a brand new dark chocolate coconut brownie, which is limited time only. It's delicious. Also really like the mint brownie, like the toffee almond. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They are fantastic if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight, while still enjoying a delicious treat that, again, tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's not an exaggeration. It genuinely, truthfully does. Every single bar is low calorie. They're also low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. And if you're on a keto diet, they are perfect. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKDOWN. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKDOWN for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. All right, so for this game, studs and duds. The first stud is obvious, Anthony Edwards. Again, 28 points on 10 of 20 shooting, 5 made threes in 10 attempts, 3 of 4 on free throws, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, a steal, only 3 turnovers and 2 fouls committed. I mean, I've been complaining quite a bit about early in the season about Anthony Edwards, the lack of the other stuff that he does. He didn't do a ton of the other stuff in college. His, you know, obviously everything that they did at the University of Georgia ran through Anthony Edwards, but his assist rate wasn't great. His rebound rate wasn't great. And I had this kind of dread, this Andrew Wiggins induced dread about Edwards as a prospect. And that continued a little bit into parts of his career so far, his season so far, you know, 26 or 20, I guess 28 games in now. But lately, he's been rebounding the ball quite a bit more, and his assists have gone up. His assist to turnover is very good. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal is a nice night. I mean, that's not something we saw from Andrew Wiggins in year 5, let alone as a rookie. And again, I it's probably unfair to compare them so directly, but there's a ton of comparisons to be made, and so it's going to keep coming up. But you look at his game log, and the last 3 games, he's had 7 rebounds, 6 rebounds. He's had 3 or more assists in each of the last 3 games. He's had 1 or more steal in 5 of the last 6 games. And again, go back early in the season. I mean, he had a stretch of 4 games with no steal, or actually 5 games with no steals. He had a stretch of like a dozen games with no blocks. He had 4 games with 0 or 1 steals, or excuse me, 0-1 assists in a row. Fast forward to the month of February. So far in February, he's averaging more than a block a game. He's averaging almost a steal a game, over 3 assists per game. His rebounds are just a tick under 5 rebounds per game. And again, 6 or more rebounds in each of his last 3 games. All of those extra things are coming up. And yeah, his minutes are up just a little bit, but that's more of a recent development. Even earlier this month, he was still hovering right around the 30-minute mark. Now he's more 34, 35 minutes a game. It's not simply that. It's that he's just engaging in additional areas of the game, and that's what's so encouraging to me. And so he's a clear stud in the coming out of this game. Second stud in this game for me is going to be Ricky Rubio. He had a strong game: 13 points, 8 assists, 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 3 outside the arc, 2 of 4 at the line, 8 assists to only 2 turnovers, and again, the 4 rebounds as well, tied for the best plus-minus on the team at a +2. So he is a stud for this game. And then my third one is Jordan McLaughlin. I already talked about him too: 13 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, just the 2 turnovers, 5 of 12 shooting, and 3 of 5 outside the arc. Both Rubio and McLaughlin had really good games. It was really kind of the perimeter guys who didn't do as much. Towns doesn't get a stud simply because he wasn't involved enough. He was good. I mean, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 of 10 shooting, but he didn't get a single free throw attempt, only attempted 1 3-pointer in the game. Not entirely his fault, but still, it's hard to have a 15 and 6 when you're the best player on the team and still be considered, you know, one of your 3 stars of the game. So he does not get a stud for this game. On the duds list for this one, the list has to start and end with Jalen Noel, who I've talked quite a bit about, and I really like his game, and I think he's got a bright future, but he's struggled lately, and he had just 2 points on 0 of 5 shooting, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Just was not very good, and this is now 3 out of 4 games he struggled. Last time out against Toronto, he was very good, had 11 points on 6 shots, but The two games preceding that, and then this one, not good games for Noel. He did not get much second half run. He actually only played 10 minutes in this game, which is his lowest minute total since he joined the rotation way back almost a month ago now. So we'll see if that spills over into the next game, or whether or not he will, they'll give him another shot at earning back some of those minutes. And part of that was due to how well Anthony Edwards was playing as well. So it's not like it was simply due to Noel's bad game, but he just struggled in this one. Nobody else really makes the dud list for me. I mentioned McDaniels earlier. I mean, 0 points, one rebound in 18 minutes isn't great. I guess you could give it to him. He had a couple really nice blocks early in the game, had a nice steal, and tried to hold his own against LeBron. I mean, he competed, and that's all you can really ask of a rookie who's still trying to gain his footing in the league. This is a really tough matchup for Jaden McDaniels, but just not his best game, and that's okay. I do want to call out Jared Vanderbilt. He had 13 rebounds in 29 minutes. That's not the sort of rebound rate that anyone else on the Wolves had in this game. Nobody else had more than 7 boards, believe it or not. Naz Reid, again, just one rebound in 15 minutes, was very good offensively in the first half. But when you're going up against a team with Montrezl Harrell, he had 6 rebounds in 18 minutes. Marc Gasol is not the same as he was a couple of years ago, but he's still Marc Gasol. He still takes up a lot of space and knows what he's doing. You got to rebound better. And the Wolves were even in that category for the game. But late, there were a couple of offensive rebounds given up. There was a jump ball. Early in the game, the Wolves were getting a ton of 50-50 balls. That changed in the second half. There was a key offensive rebound down the stretch from the Lakers. There was a key jump ball. Some of those things that the Wolves... those are the edges you need if you're going to beat a team that's obviously better than you, and you're missing a guy like D'Angelo Russell. So rebounding is another thing that continues to plague the Wolves. They're still one of the league's worst defensive rebounding teams. And Jared Vanderbilt, at least, 13 rebounds in 29 minutes, did his part to combat that. And Vando, once again, looked very good in this game. So Wolves lose by 8. Overall, a solid all-around performance, just the disappearance of Cat in the offense down the stretch, although the emergence of Anthony Edwards was obviously extremely encouraging. Now, looking at the schedule ahead, the next few days aren't super easy, but it's not awful. I mean, you look at the rest of the first half schedule. Now, the rest of this homestand, Wednesday's second night of the back-to-back against the Pacers, and then Toronto at home on Friday before heading out on the road for the Knicks, Bucks, Bulls, and Wizards. Knicks, Bulls, Wizards are all winnable games, all below 500 teams or right around 500 teams. Obviously, the Bucks are one of the league's best. And then Phoenix and Charlotte. So if the Wolves, with the healthy Karl-Anthony Towns, these next 8 games in the first half, if they can come out of this thing, 4-4 over these 8, I don't think that's crazy. I mean, roughly half the games are against 500 or worse teams. And with Karl-Anthony Towns, even with no D'Lo, I truly believe this is something close to a 500 type team. Going 4-4, maybe 3-5 over the next 8 is not crazy. That would be a pretty good end to the first half of the season, especially given everything that this team has been through to this point. So, of course, Pacers game Wednesday night. Not going to spend much time on a preview for that. Obviously, we'll have a post-game pod to talk about everything that happens in that game. I guess just a quick peek at the Pacers. They're 14-14, have kind of fallen on hard times after a really hot, kind of surprisingly hot start to the season. They've lost 5 of their last 7 games. They did beat the Pistons and Hawks in consecutive games before losing to the Bulls last time out. So the Pacers are a little bit on a downturn. They've obviously had some injury issues. They were involved in that big trade, and they ended up with Caris LeVert, who's still out after the surgery, after the mass was found in his abdomen following the trade. Obviously a scary situation, and it sounds like he's gearing up to start resuming some activities here soon. TJ Warren has been out for a while. Doug McDermott is questionable for the game, but so the Pacers are certainly a little banged up and a lot thinner on their roster than they were earlier in the season. But the Wolves will still have to slow down Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner is still a very good player, and there's just a lot of guys to contend with. Justin Holiday on this team that the Wolves will have to try and slow down. The Pacers are fairly middle of the pack in a lot of different areas. They're a little better defensively than they are offensively, and they're not super dynamic. They don't play really fast. They're not a huge 3-point shooting team, but they just kind of do everything well, or well enough. And sure enough, they're 14-14 on the season. So, at least they're on a little bit of a downswing right now, and hopefully the Wolves can keep some of the good vibes going from a win Sunday and a competitive game against the Lakers on Tuesday. So we'll have a post-game pod Wednesday following Wolves-Pacers at the 7 p.m. tip at Target Center, and then looking ahead to Friday, Wolves-Raptors at Target Center on Friday night. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts. That includes iTunes and Spotify, Google, Stitcher. If you're so inclined, a review on iTunes would be awesome. It definitely helps us get in front of more folks. And then also you can follow on Twitter. That's at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. That's B-B-E-E-C-K-E-N, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.